What's up, y'all?
What's going on? Let's get started.
Y'all ready to go? Let's do it. Let's do it. 3, 2, 1.
Boy, I tell you, my cracks have gotten raggedier and raggedier.
It's like you're getting good joints.
More and more raggedy.
You're like you're getting good joints all of a sudden.
I don't know.
What the heck, man?
It's weird.
They're all extra lubricated now. They can't pop no more.
What up, peeps? What up, y'all? Welcome to the Let's Make Out podcast, where we make out all things what?
Love, life, and laughter.
That's right. I'm Gabrielle, one of your hosts.
And I'm Chad, the other host. So we are excited that you're here. We appreciate you being here. And we're on time on target with
on time on target. Okay.
That's military use right there.
Hooah.
Hooah. Okay. You did the army hooah. Okay.
You know, I knew about that, didn't you?
Okay. When did you learn the hooah? And then that was the army one.
I learned it, I don't know, a while ago. My new favorite instructor on Peloton, I guess she's a vet, so she always says that.
Oh, like, she always says who?
It's the Marcel. Her name is Marcel, I think, yeah. So the Marcel Army, and she was like, hua, like, this is what we gonna do, hua. Then she explained it. She broke it down and what it was.
That's so funny because that's the army. She must have been army vet.
Because
Marines are hoorah.
Yeah, she's my fave. If you have never listened, hashtag not sponsored. Peloton, where y'all at though?
Exactly.
If you have a Peloton tread, do some walks or some runs with Marcel. She's legit my favorite. She's all her playlists be bomb. So check her out.
Bomb.
She's black girl. She be doing it.
Black girl magic.
Black girl magic.
That's right. So, you just want to drop this intro real quick?
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it so we don't forget. So we don't get 15 minutes in and we ain't done it yet. Right. Y'all ready?
Just when you think we got it together, one of us messed it up.
One of us messed it up.
It happens. I am so sleepy right now. If I look sleepy, it's because I feel like I'm about to fall asleep.
It just hit you.
It literally just hit me.
We're in the bedroom where, you know, magic happens, you know, both awake and asleep.
Yeah. Why am I so sleepy? Well, it's because I only got like 5 hours and 45 minutes of sleep last night.
Yeah, she stayed. When I finally went to sleep, she stayed up.
Not good. Yeah, I was up. I don't know what I was doing, watching a video or something, and then I woke up and it was watching me. So then I went to sleep. But yeah, I've been trying really hard to get 7 hours of sleep a night, which is the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
It's because Gabrielle.
It's
because Gabrielle starts doing something productive. She all day she's productive. But what I mean is, like, she starts doing something that is productive too late in the evening, right? Mm-hmm. So for you, it's like you might do an extra chapter in your devotion or the chapter in your devotion or whatever, which is productive. You
at
enjoy
like
it, right?
11:30.
At like 11:30. Or she'll start watching an episode of a show of a show that we like at 11:30. Mm-hmm. It's so you're like, you're engaged. You're like, I want to see this. I'm excited. And then all of a sudden you've fallen asleep and, you know, it's watched you.
True. I have to turn off. It's all about like creating a real bedtime routine and like sticking to it, like turning off, putting the phone down, turning the TV off, coming and unwinding in the bed, maybe reading a book. It's like I know all the things. I do really good at having a glass of tea. Every night I have a cup of tea. And that's the only part of the bedtime routine that I have down.
Like decaf
is my
tea.
Sleepy tea. But by the time I have that, it might be 12 o'clock before I have that. Girl, you're supposed to just be asleep.
Yeah.
Like, what? Y'all, so I've been really working trying to at least get 7 hours because my body has gotten to the point where every day I wake up at 7. Every single day I look at the clock and it's 7 o'clock. Like, that has become my new body alarm. Like, whether I get out of the bed or not, or whether I snooze, or even if I don't have, 9 times out of 10, the alarm is set for like 7:15, but I always seem to wake up at 6:45 or 7 o'clock. I'll be like, can I make it to 7:15? So I'm like, ooh, I go to bed at 12. I'm like, I'm not gonna set my clock till 7:15. I'm gonna get my 7 hours, and then it'd be like 6:45.
That's hilarious.
Because I'll be tossing or turning. Like, I use my Aura ring so I can see all the stats. So even if I'm in the bed for those 7 hours, it probably took me longer to fall asleep, mm-hmm. or there were periods where I was in and out of sleep. So it doesn't even.
She'd be trying to, you know, do stuff, you know.
Work. So I need to be in the bed at like 11. So that gives me a buffer to make it to
my. She's trying to make out. So I'm like, girl, go to sleep. Sweetie, go to sleep.
Whatever. So I said all that to say, if I look sleepy, it's because it literally just hit me.
You don't look sleepy.
Thank you.
You look beautiful.
Anyway, thank you.
You like a beautiful, warm glass of wake me up.
What is a warm glass of wake me up? Would that be coffee?
No, it's better. It's a glass of wake me up.
Glass of wake me
up. Drink you up, girl.
Anyway. What's been going on? What's been going on with y'all? What's been going on with us?
Man.
Over the past couple weeks, huh?
Couple weeks, yeah. We took a... if you watch our vlog, which if you don't, then you should. Gay Babe TV. It's a link down below. And you should go check us out. But we went to Chicago for a concert. The Coldplay concert. Mm-hmm. Second time seeing them in Chicago at Soldier Field. And still the best concert we've ever seen.
Still.
And like good. It's just.
Oh, so good.
It's just like a huge party.
It really is.
And like literally it feels like just a party that's not that you're just mm-hmm. I mean it's just crazy. I can't even describe it. It's so cool. The vlog that actually went up today, we talk about the same thing. It's actually the night after the day after the concert.
Oh yeah.
And so we're talking about the same thing
about it because it was great.
But yeah, the night before we went to Chicago, I broke my finger.
This fool broke his finger
like the tip of the bone. Broke off of my index finger. And it's still swollen. You probably can see the difference if you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like the pain is like, I have pretty good flex.
Oh,
it's,
yeah. That's
yeah,
good.
So really it's just right there in the tip now
yeah.
The swelling a little bit there, but it's...
So crazy.
Yeah, it's starting to get back though. But yeah, no, yeah, just crazy. The ball, like literally the tip, the ball hit the tip of the finger. Like, and just, you know... Sorry if you're like screaming about it.
So wait, you caught with your...
So I caught with my left hand because I had the mitt on the left hand. Caught it at second base to get the guy out coming. Force out from first because he had to run to second. So if I get to second base for him, it's called a force out.
Mm-hmm.
Got him out. But as I was catching it, I looked to first base to see if I would have a chance to throw it to first base after to mm-hmm. get the batter out.
Yeah.
That's the way you do it. You go to second and then to first.
Yeah.
And try to get double play. Oh, and so I looked over and, but, so I caught, but I put this hand up here to like make sure the ball stayed in the mitt and also so I could grab it and throw it. But I put this hand up a little bit too soon. So I caught it, but it hit literally the tip of this finger and went into my mitt. And it stung a little bit, but like, you know, I was like, ooh, ow, okay. You know, I didn't think anything of it. But then it started just bleeding. Like, I'm talking about bleeding. I'm like, what in the world? So I wrapped it up and got some Band-Aids from a sweet lady that was there. She hooked me up with some Band-Aids and some spray. And played. I batted a couple more times. Yeah. Played, finished the game. Came home, but it still wouldn't stop bleeding. So once it wouldn't stop bleeding, then Gabriel was like, well, you just go to the hospital and check it out. Make sure. Like, so I did.
He finished the whole game. Came home, and that joker was still bleeding. I'm like... You think you should go to the emergency room for that? Like, Chris's like, no, you know, I just got to get it to stop bleeding. I'm like, yeah, but if it's not going to stop.
Yeah, so since it didn't stop bleeding, that's that, you know. But so they x-rayed it because they were like, well, let's just make sure it's not broken. Come to find out, tip of the finger. Crazy. So the nail will probably come. So I think the bleeding was from the nail being bent back.
Yeah, so it's like an open fracture.
Yeah, so it's considered an open fracture because it's so close to where the bone break was. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, so annoying, but thankfully, you know,
You had a big old
rap like in Chicago.
And everybody that we came in contact with,
it's like, what'd you
asked
do?
What happened to this finger. I think because it wasn't just like a normal splint. So I think people probably thought,
did you lose your finger?
No, but is his finger that swollen? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because exactly. It was thick.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. It was very thick. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, crazy. So the craziest accident.
Freak accident.
I mean, freak accident. I mean, there's softball nothing.
Softball came and went. Because it's a wrap on that.
Well, I got another week. I can probably get back out there. No,
it's a wrap.
Why does it have to be a wrap, though? Just let it go.
I feel like that was a sign that you need to be playing softball.
I think it was just a sign that I need to not put my hand up so quick.
But yeah,
so that was very interesting.
But yeah, we
could have been worse though. So
it could have been worse. You know, we were still able to go. Babe was good.
I didn't break the whole finger, so which would have been nice.
In excruciating pain. It was painful. It did throb.
No, like I woke up both nights in Chicago. The wrap was wrapped very tight, and it was obviously to keep that piece of that bone in place. And plus, you know, it was swollen, so it would get tighter sometimes. So I'd wake up both nights and I'd be awake for like an hour, hour and a half, because it would just be sitting there throbbing. So I don't know if it was because I hit it while I was sleeping or if it just was throbbing. So I don't really know, but that was the worst part about the whole thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But once I took it off, I was able to sleep just fine, no problem. And, you know, just been taking it easy and haven't been, you know, really doing any much with it. So, yeah just crazy.
Yeah, so crazy.
What else?
Let's see. Chad I feel Jr. like that's it. Oh, yeah, you guys. So Chad Jr. started Taekwondo.
Yes, he did.
And so far, he seems to like it.
Yeah, he's three lessons in.
Mm-hmm. He got a red line and a yellow line.
Yeah, red tip and a yellow tip.
Okay.
And they're for specialty kicks.
Mm.
So one is like a roundhouse, and then one is a front. Like snap kick.
Okay.
He's really loving it and he's having a good time. He's always kicking and hitting it home and stuff like that. You know, like we're always like, you know, sparring around and playing. So it's perfect for him.
Yeah.
Eventually once he gets to yellow and further, he'll start actual sparring.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they become yellow belts, we have to buy this pad set that they sell where it has like the shin guards and fist guards, headgear, a bodyguard.
Oh, wow.
And because they'll start sparring a little bit. Mm. And because Taekwondo, you know, it's you know, there's a lot of sparring and like, you know, he can go to tournaments and do like point fighting.
I didn't know all of that.
Yeah, where you can actually like, you know, point fight and, you know, but you're wearing the pads.
Right.
So you're not like getting hurt or anything like that. But yeah, so that's, and it's an Olympic sport. Taekwondo, there's an Olympic sport for. I mean, there's.
I also did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had no idea.
Absolutely. So it's just.
Oh, that's so
cool. So I'm very excited for him. I actually started, so during June, there's a Father's Day. There's a Father's Day. She's checking the lighting right now.
Oh, it's
be changing on us.
Focus. Am I weird? Is it me?
It's in focus, sweetie.
Is it?
Okay. She's crazy.
Not bad.
And I'm crazy about you. Whatever. But yeah, so I started Father's Day for Father's Day month. Mm-hmm. You know, this month they've done a the dad can come the whole month and go 2 days a week, like for free. So they gave me like a uniform, you know, a gi and everything, and
he's excited about it.
And so it was fun.
Cute to see the two.
I went my like first little lesson by myself, did it, and then now Chad and I are going to go Saturday morning to the family class, and we'll be able to like, you know, train together. So I'm pretty excited about it, you know. And he's like, Dad, were you going to take it with me? We can become black belts together. So I told him, I was like, I don't know, buddy. We'll see. But I'll start with some of these free lessons and we'll see from there. But it is very appealing because it's like, that's, you know, that's my boy. And if he wants to do something so big together, you know, because that would be, that'd be really big, you know. So I'm like, well, we'll see, buddy. But right now, let me just do these lessons.
That's so cute.
But I think that's about, and then Reagan's starting ballet back tomorrow.
She was in it and then... I don't know what happened. We traveled for spring break, and then I think we just never really got back on schedule after that. So she's enrolled again, which is like the beginning of, you know, this is the class that'll run like the rest of the year until like next May. So I'm going to try and keep her in it as long as she's feeling it, and we'll see where it goes. Yeah. I think the first time she did like Broadway Babies, which was just kind of like a fun type of thing. Then she did Ballet One. So we're going to continue her in Ballet One just to see if maybe she moves up, if she gets, you know, better skills. She enjoys it. I think she just has to do it more.
I agree. Yeah, she, exactly. So I'm excited for her to start that too. So, yeah.
That should be good.
But that's about it. I mean, honestly, we've been kind of chilling. The weather's been getting nice here. So that's very exciting.
Let's see what else. Somebody's got a birthday coming up this weekend.
That's right. Oscar about to be 117 years old.
You're so funny.
No, yes.
How do you feel? You're about to be 40, but
it's the big 40, y'all.
The big 40. And we have the big NO plans.
That's crazy.
Like none. Like, what is wrong with us?
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. The big 40.
So crazy.
And then 18 days after, someone else is turning the big 40, and we will be traveling. It's not the plans that we didn't have any plans, but we're going on a sponsor trip that should end up being a lot of fun because we've got like friends and people and some friends that we've never actually been able to hang out with in the social media space.
Yeah,
so that's exciting.
That should be fun.
And the kids don't know yet because it's a surprise. Mm-hmm. But they're gonna flip.
Yeah, they're gonna have a really good time. But yeah, you're about to be 40.
I am. About to be 40.
Any major life revelations or not thoughts? Okay, maybe 2 weeks after he turns 40, we'll have some.
Yeah, I don't know. Life. I don't even know what to think.
Yeah.
Still trying to figure it out, y'all. Still trying to figure it out at 40.
I know. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's all right. So yeah, now you're fully caught up on what's going on with us, which is nothing really.
Yeah.
Let's do some questions. Let's get into a couple questions.
Well, before we do that, let's do our first sponsor.
Oh, well, yeah, let's do that.
So we've told you about Ghost Bed a few times before, but I'm gonna tell you about them again. So we all know how important sleep is. I mean, we just talked about it. I mean, sleep is important.
It is.
It's the way that you are prepared for your next day. It's how you recover from a good workout. It's just sleep is the key. I mean, I think sleep is even so important for like maintaining healthy weight and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
Sleep is
so important.
So important. And it's probably one of the most neglected things. I would love to look up a study. I'm sure it's probably very neglected amongst a lot of people because we do often. But basically, this is where Ghost Bed kind of comes in. They're made by Nature Sleep, which is an industry leader in the mattress space since 2001. Every Ghost Bed product, from their mattresses to their sheets and pillows, is designed with cooling features. So it's perfect if you sleep warm, which most people do. They even got a mattress dubbed the coolest bed in the world. Shipping is free and fast, and you could try out your mattress for 101 nights, and you even get an industry-leading warranty up to 25 years. Basically, you know, they're a family-owned business, sleep experts with 20-plus years experience, quality and comfort and affordable prices. Mattresses are made in the U.S., and you know, again, their cooling technology is what they're really known for, to help you have a longer and better, you know, sleep at night. The 101 night home trial I spoke of, I mean, that's pretty awesome. You can try it, return it, your money back, no hard feelings, 101 nights. That's pretty awesome. Free shipping on, and most orders ship within 24 hours. They do have financing if you're interested in that. Easy financing on a mattress starting at $35 a month. You can buy a mattress for, you know, $35 a month, $0 down, 0% APR financing. So that's a really good deal if you want to go that route. And we would love for you to check them out. So for our peeps, you can find your perfect mattress at ghostbed.com/LMO. Right now, Ghostbed is offering our listeners 40% off Ghostbed bundles, where you get a mattress and adjustable base. Or you can get 30% off site-wide. And so that's 30% off all mattresses, plus two luxury pillows, and you can use the promo code LMO at ghostbed.com/LMO. So yeah, take advantage of these savings. I don't know how long they're going to last, but take advantage of them. Mm-hmm. So again, that's ghostbed.com/LMO, and use the promo code LMO.
Check them out. Okay, so
ain't nobody talking to you, Alexa.
Why does she do that? I have this new questions book. I'm not really sure where this questions book came from. I just opened my Kindle app and it was there.
Okay.
So we're going to give it a
shot. Jesus sent it. He's like, you know what? Y'all need some new
questions. I don't think Jesus sent this one. These questions are
Jesus didn't
questions say. For terrible people.
Okay.
250 questions you'll be ashamed to answer.
That's pretty funny.
So Let's see how ashamed you'll be. So they're not numbered. So we'll just go. It's like the questions start on page 7. They end on 256. So just choose a page and we'll go with that question.
Eight.
The second question. It's
fine. She said choose one from 7 to 256. And then I said it. The second question. No, yes, girl.
You can have any large animal, either living or extinct, shrunk down to pug size and given to you as a pet. You have to keep it for at least a year. What's your choice? There's nothing ashamed about this.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed of this.
Wow.
I'm not ashamed to say that I would want a... I mean, I'd probably say probably a tiger.
A tiger.
Or a cheetah.
A pug size cheetah or a tiger.
Probably a tiger.
Okay, tiger.
Because he tries to get all anxious or wild, you know, freaking just snap him up. Like, what you doing, homie? You the size of a pug.
It still would be the same ferociousness, though. Is it the size of the tiger that makes him?
I mean, like, that helps
him. It helps.
I mean, that helps for him not to be, you know, for him to be very scary.
But he can still and bite strong. You. And
I mean, the strength
him
of a,
you up.
I know, but the strength of a full-size tiger versus the pug-sized tiger is going to be a little bit different, okay?
That's probably true.
So, yeah. So I'll go with yeah, tiger.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go with page 17.
The 17th question?
Is it not the 17th question? Thank you very much.
How do you know?
Because they started on page 7. It would be the 10th question or the 11th question.
Okay, here we go. Okay, yours is different.
Is it that different? This is an ashamed one. This one is... You still reading it? It's a long question.
I mean, okay. Either you complete a full regimen of sex reassignment therapy and surgery, you don't have to pay for it, or one of your best friends will die suddenly and violently within a year.
What?
No one but you will ever know which you choose. What do you do?
Oh my God. Okay, yeah, I would never answer this question. Exactly. Now I see why these questions. I feel some type of way answering that question. What? I don't want either of those.
There's got to be something better.
Okay, so maybe I picked the wrong type of book. Hmm. 37.
These are horrible.
That's why it says terrible questions for terrible people. Clearly, we're not terrible people.
These questions are...
Yeah, these are stupid.
They're bad.
They're bad. Okay, maybe I don't like these questions.
We're not the type to like to talk about like bad situations like that. So it's like, this is right here. It's like, you know, for people that like the what ifs and like the crazy wild stuff.
Some of them aren't, you know, bad, but.
Some of them are.
Yeah, we're probably never going to use this book again.
Ever.
Yep, okay.
That's a tough one.
Well, there was that.
Yeah.
All right, pick a number between 1 and 3,000. I've switched books.
We're switching books, because, yeah. Let's go with...
So don't ever buy that book, Questions for Terrible People, unless you're a terrible person, and that's what you want to do with your life.
But yeah.
Now
yeah.
You've got a preview of the type of books.
It was a crap book.
It was a crap book. I don't even know where that book came from. I don't remember buying that.
And it definitely didn't come from Jesus.
It definitely did not. Jesus was not pleased with those questions.
Jesus did not like that book.
Oh, okay. 1,000?
Yeah.
What would be the worst food to use as a sandwich filling?
The worst food to use as a sandwich filling?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be... I would say it would be Brussels sprouts. A Brussels sprout sandwich just sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound that good. Unless they're like roasted Brussels sprouts with toasted bread and some cheese. That could probably be good.
Okay, so yeah. Then ice cream.
An ice cream sandwich? Bruh.
I mean, white bread, you want some Wonder
it
white.
It doesn't say what type of sandwich, ice cream is like ice cream the sandwiches. Best thing.
But those are ice cream sandwiches. But that's not a real sandwich, though. It's not a real sandwich, if you think about it.
But it is an ice cream sandwich.
But it's an ice cream sandwich. It's not a real sandwich so that you put saying, something in.
Just slapping some ice cream in between some bread would be
That would
worst.
Be disgusting. tell me, do you see, does that sound appealing to you at all?
It doesn't sound appealing, but I don't think it would be the worst feeling.
What?
To me, the worst filling for a sandwich would be like a food that's so bad that even slapping two pieces of bread on the other side of it wouldn't even make it better. You know what I'm saying? So the food has to be so bad already. Like, that's how my mind thinks of it. Maybe I'm overthinking. I don't know. It's your question. Hey, you gave your answers. It's your question.
Exactly.
I'm going to go with question 2000.
Well, this one I'm talking
about. Shout out to class 2000. Did y'all have a reunion? Because we did. Oh, 2020. Heffa.
Yeah. Heffa.
Didn't even get a 20-year reunion. Maybe we'll do it at 25.
Do you agree that you can have too much of a good thing? Have you experienced it?
I think in general, what am I trying to say? I think in general, there can be things that you can have in excess. Mm-hmm. It's just too much. Like,
yeah.
Now,
ice cream sandwiches.
You can definitely have too much food. That's an easy example. Mm-hmm. It's too much of a good thing. You can have too much laughter because then your abs will be hurting because you're laughing so much. I'm just saying, I feel like you could spin a lot of different ways.
Too many cars.
Too many cars because what are you going to do with all of them?
Some people got like 12 cars, but why do you need 12? I mean, if you want them, cool. No, you know, but at the same time, it's like.
Yeah. What is the reason?
What's the reasoning?
I mean, I guess some people do just collect cars.
Exactly.
Just like you collect notebooks. What is the reason? You have all those notebooks.
Well, I mean, the price difference in a notebook and a car.
True, but I think the people who are collectors of cars, they might be the equivalent of your notebooks because they have that much money it is just pocket change to them. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can always
do things in excess. I think it's to your individual life, right?
It is. It really just depends. Yeah.
Well, you can't get enough of me.
Here we go.
It ain't that funny now.
Give me a number.
Let's go with.
This is our last two questions.
25 hundo.
25 hundo. For shundo.
Y'all ever had the blood orange tangerine sparkling Spindrift water? It's amazing. So good.
I feel like we've answered this question before. About a dream or a nightmare you've had more than once.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. We talked about that.
Is there another going on there?
This is the Tired Podcast. We have literally no energy. I feel like we look like we have no energy. No, just can you just give me another number? Because I can read all of these. Okay.
You're so fun.
Just do it the way it's supposed to be done. If we colonize the moon,
okay,
what company would be the first to open for business up there?
Starbucks.
That was my answer too.
Starbucks and McDonald's.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then
Yeah. No entity with that.
And then
yet.
Apple will be right after.
Absolutely.
Starbucks are going to be the first one, but y'all need coffee. Y'all look tired from that trip. Y'all need exactly. some coffee now. Let me get you some Pike Place.
Moon Place.
It's a Moon Place, exactly.
That's so funny. Why was that so funny to me? She's so good. I think because it was my same thought. Like, yep, Starbucks. Definitely Starbucks. Yep. Okay, so I'm going to do 2,800. 2,850.
I ain't about to scroll all the way over there, girl.
I know we're like. Because the little Kindle app on my phone.
Have you ever made a big mistake that no one ever found out about until now?
Is that the question for real?
Yes.
No. I mean, I've made multiple big mistakes, but the way this internet is set up, somebody gonna find it. So, no.
That was a boring one.
Let's see.
Give me another number.
2,800. Last question. I feel like we're questioned now.
Okay, this is boring.
Oh, geez. A Louisa, really 2,801,
2,803. Hang on. What did you last daydream about?
Daydreaming, I'm thinking of you. Daydreaming, and I'm thinking of you.
But who's the you you're thinking of, Gabrielle?
What was the last thing I daydreamed about? We have to think about this. Have I daydreamed today?
Did you dream of today? Did you dream on today?
On today. I don't think I've daydreamed about anything. So now let me go back to tomorrow. I mean, to yesterday.
Go back to tomorrow, okay?
Go back to
She's to already yesterday. On the moon, okay?
I feel like that would be a good movie title. Back to tomorrow.
Back to tomorrow.
I feel like there's a way to make that work.
We've already trademarked it.
Don't be out here stealing my movie.
We ain't got no plot, but we got the name of it, though.
Right. We don't have any idea of anything yet. Just the name. Yeah,
just the name. So
back to tomorrow. But probably not, because it's too close to Back to the Future. Basically, that is Back to Tomorrow. Back to the Future. Because tomorrow is technically the future.
Oh, that's true.
Ah!
See?
So my idea was.
We would have got sued for that.
Wasn't as clever. Yeah.
Never mind. Back to the Future. We ain't doing that. Don't try to sue us.
I don't remember the last thing I daydreamed about. Gosh, that's crazy. What was the last thing I daydreamed about? I don't know. Do you remember the last thing you daydreamed about?
Well.
Yeah. I'm talking about some things that I can say on.
Oh, you daydreaming about that, huh? Okay, all right. You need to tell me about that, okay? You need to bring me into those daydreams, okay? Bring, sweetheart, we need to have a conversation.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I don't have any PG daydreams.
Yeah. I don't really daydream. I mean, I like daydream here and there about, like, if I'm about to play softball, I might have like a, I don't know if it's daydreaming or like a, you know, a vision of like
how a
hitting a home run around. Or something, you know.
Seriously? Or, yeah. Yeah. Like a how it's something's
like,
going to
like
happen.
An anticipation almost. But
almost
I guess
like going on a trip, daydreaming like, oh, what's it going to be like to lay around at the beach?
Absolutely.
Or yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I have
like
those,
that.
You know, about certain like specific situations, mm-hmm. like, but like a full out like daydream. You know, most of them are nasty involving this one right here. I mean, I'm going to be honest, okay? This, you know.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, most of them are just, you know, trying to get her, you know. Yeah.
That's so funny. Okay, so enough with the questions.
Yes.
Let's move on to.
The topic.
Our next. Oh, I was going to go on to our next segment.
Oh, do it.
And then the topic.
Next segment.
Because we haven't done this segment in a long time.
What are you listening to?
What's in your ear.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yes, it's called What's in Your Ear. So.
What'd you say?
I was really about to say it again. What's in your ear? And this is what I need for you to do. As we're going through this, I need you to find some more music for us. Because I feel like we need musics for our segments. You ever listen to podcasts and they have musics when the next segment comes? So we need a question so we segment need music.
We need music in our segments.
We need music. Did I say music?
You said it multiple times. She's like, here's what I need you to do. I need you to get us some musics for our segments. Musics for this segment. Musics for this. So we need multiple songs? We need like, do I need to do like a mix? I need to get a DJ up in here to like put a turntable?
Why did I put an S on that? Why do we put S's on things? Like White Castles? Who says White Castle? Because I say White Castles. Like, why do we put S's
Why do people
things?
Say on today?
Kroger's. Well, I guess Kroger. No, it's Kroger. It's not, there's no S on Kroger.
Yeah, it's just Kroger.
Kroger's. I never say Kroger. I say I'm going to Kroger's.
You do.
What did you say?
Why do people say on today?
On today.
Like, I don't understand that.
We talked about that before, but I don't understand that either.
I don't understand. It's just today.
It's just
There's
today.
No on.
You don't
on
have to be on. It's just today.
So happy that you're here on today. On no, it's just today. Just today. I'm glad you're here today. You ain't on nothing. Well, you could be on something, and you probably shouldn't tell nobody about
you. Oh, God, I feel like I'm laughing a lot because I'm sleepy. I'm sorry.
But, yeah, no, it's funny. Like okay, what's in my ear?
Okay, so what's been in your ear?
On today.
or this week.
On this week. Been listening to a ton of, like, Maverick City music this week. Excuse me. You know, just jamming out.
Mm-hmm.
Still reading this or listening to this book. What's it called?
I don't know. Good question.
I don't remember.
What is
it? It's called Too Big to Fail.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's about
Big to Fail.
Yeah,
well, that's a different one.
It's about and
oh, you're reading the other one that's similar. The title is similar to that.
Yeah, Too Big to Fail is about this one's actually about the 2008 stock market crash.
Oh, okay.
So it's just, you know, hearing what was happening behind the scenes. But really, like, podcasts. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, mm-hmm. like stock market podcast, yeah. or what's the other one I'm listening to? Like, just like history, and I mean, I like, you know, mysteries. And
yeah, what was the one we were listening to on the way to Chicago? It was about not Fannie Mae and Freddie Mae. What was it about? What was that we were listening to?
Oh, that was about Enron.
Enron, I think. Yeah.
Enron. Yeah. So just I like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So And then I started listening to one about the Predator drone, or the Predator UAV, which is the appropriate technical term for it. So been kind of like how it was created, how it became to be, and pretty cool story.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about it, really. Honestly, that's just kind of like just a hodgepodge of things.
Of things, yeah. Let's see, what's been in my ear? I have kind of taken a break from music. Just because, you know, sometimes you just need a break from music. Like, yeah. I've been doing a lot of driving back and forth, like, you know, picking up mom, taking her to an appointment, so I would just be listening to podcasts, or not podcasts, listening to an audiobook. And the last one I just finished, y'all, Will Smith, his book is so freaking good. Oh, my goodness. Oh, like, yeah. It is one of the best audiobooks that I've listened to because of the production. Like, for somebody, it's one thing for somebody to tell you their story, to read their book, but it's like when they put all the elements of storytelling in it, and there's music, and he's doing accents of different people, like, it was such a good production. Yeah. Like, the whole, and it's like, it's long. It was like 14-15 hours. So it's just so good. If you haven't listened to the Will Smith book, or if you haven't read it, I would say listen to it, because it is worth the listen.
I'm going to switch to listening to it, yeah. Because it's so long.
Yeah, it read. Is a really long, man. But so. Listening to it, you're not going to want to stop. Like, literally, I would be so excited to go somewhere. Because for whatever reason, I don't really listen to podcasts when I'm in the house, unless I listen to them while I'm, like, working out. I don't really listen to them, like, just around the house. So the car is typically when I listen. So I would just be so ready to get in the car so I could turn it back on, because you just don't want to stop. And I think the biggest thing, it it made me very emotional, like listening to his story and just kind of seeing how everything in his life worked out, like the way that it did, like learning behind the scenes of how certain songs came about, or how, you know, just his work ethic and how he met Jazzy Jeff, and like how he's got the Fresh Prince, like all these stories. It's like nobody could orchestrate that. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like when God just lays out the perfect thing. And obviously nobody's life is perfect. Clearly we see what just happened on the Oscars. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like when the steps come together like that, I don't know. It was just amazing to me. And it made me incredibly sad also looking at the incident that happened, like this whole build up of this like just untouchable career, and then that one moment to just kind of like blow everything up. But it made me sad, but then it's also like a reality that like anything can happen to anybody at any time. And also like when you're portraying a certain perfection, at some point that comes to an end. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not like a portray like he was making it, but when you're a public figure, sometimes you have to put on what people want to see, you know?
Or you don't want to look weak or feel in front of people.
So it's just a really good, like, I highly recommend it. It's really, really good. So now I have started listening to Green Lights, which is Matthew McConaughey's
book. I read that in the Maldives.
Yeah, so Babe actually read it, and he was like, oh, you got it. You're going to love it. But I had also had, I think, remember I went to like, lunch with these ladies. It was, like, a networking lunch, and, like, they were all talking about it. And they were like, you got to listen to it. Because, you know, just hearing the author talk about it or read his book in his own. Now, when I did start it, it is such a contrast from Will Smith's book. I almost stopped because I was like, this is not exciting. Like, it didn't capture me. Yeah. It took me a minute to get into it, and he is a very fast talker. He's talking very fast, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna drive me crazy. And his voice is kind of annoying sometimes, like, you know. So you have to, coming from listening to Will Smith's voice to listening to Matthew McConaughey's voice, it took me a minute to adjust. I almost was like, I don't think that this is gonna work. But I am glad now that I've been listening to it, because just the few stories that I've heard, I've only like three chapters in. He's a very good storyteller. And just so many things that you don't know about these, you know, these actors that we grow up watching, or these musicians or whatever. That's why I always love biography. Is it biography or autobiography? I never know which one it is when it's written by the person. Why don't I know that? But I get them mixed up all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whichever one it is, but I always like it when it's the person telling their own story. So it is a good listen to. Just be prepared, because he is a fast talker. I can probably slow it down on Audible. I just haven't done that because I'm like, is it going to sound distorted?
I fixed that by reading it, because I'm not a fast reader. See, so I slowed it down by reading it.
But it is nice to hear it.
No, voice. I think, but it's definitely a very good book. So she sticks through it.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with it.
Yeah, she will look back on it like, wow, that was good. Yeah. That was really good. So
those are two suggestions.
Okay.
Or, yeah. So that's what's been in my ear. These past couple days though, I've been listening to old school music. I just felt like hearing Isley Brothers yesterday, and I asked Apple to play an Isley Brothers song, and then this is the one thing I love about Apple and Google. Like, they'll just keep playing songs in the similar genre. If you wanted to hear Isley
Brothers, sweetie, all you had to do was play any song. The next song will be an Isley Brothers song.
Literally, every time we ask Google to play a song, it does not matter what genre it is, she follows up with an Isley Brothers song. It's I don't know if she just knows I love them,
Is she dating Ron? Like, what? Like, is Google dating Ron or something? Because every I'm like, why does the Isley Brothers?
Song. I mean, Isley literally. Brother, if it's not the second song, it's the third song.
I'm talking about every time you can be like, well, here comes Ron. It's like, what the hell, man? Google and Ron got some kind of situation going on.
But I've been grooving on the Apple, whatever playlist has been playing. It's just like all the oldies, Earth, Wind & Fire, Maze, Stevie, like. I don't even know if it's a particular playlist or what, but I'm like, okay. Mom got in my car yesterday. She was like, okay, well, this playlist is nice. So that's what's been in my ear.
Okay.
So now that we've talked about everything.
Yeah. So
it's all the things.
Yeah, it's time for our last sponsor.
Oh, is it?
It is.
And then we'll get into the topic. All right. So you guys, let's talk about it. I've talked about them numerous times before, and it is Noom Mood, okay? Like, Noom Mood is here to guide you to mental wellness and give you all the tools you need to tackle stress so you'll feel empowered to take on whatever life throws you. We know that this life can throw us all of the things, and sometimes it's difficult to manage the stress and the anxiety and the feelings that we have because of everything that's going on. And Noom Mood is here to help you kind of like learn the tools and build up your toolbox so that you have actionable steps that you can take when you come in contact with anxiety and stress and frustration and all of that. So it's been really cool. I have been using it for weeks now. I am such a huge fan. So you can like, you know, set your goals and then they will like cater the program to you. Every day there's like a little bit of reading for you to do, but it's not like an overwhelming type of reading. It'll have some articles and then a couple of quizzes and things like that. And every week it introduces a new strategy, a new tool that you can then decide at the end of the week whether you want to keep it and put it in your toolbox to use, or you know, want to go on to the next tool. You'll go on to the next tool regardless, but you can either keep it in your toolbox or you can pass on it. But it's just really cool. It's backed by science. The lessons are based on psychological principles that teach you about your relationship with stress and anxiety. It's convenient. It only takes about 10 minutes a day. You can do it whenever, wherever. And if you happen to stop and miss a few days or a few weeks, because I've been there, you turn, you open it back up and it just takes you right back to where you started. Like, you don't feel like you're missing things if you don't open it. You know, it goes at your pace. So I'm a huge fan. I've definitely learned some things that in my toolbox that I have used. So it's been very, very helpful. Worry less and feel happier. You can sign up for a trial at noom.com/LMO. It's for all of our peeps. Sign up for Noom at noom.com/LMO. If you are kind of running out of ways or looking for new ways to help you adjust, like, I cannot recommend it enough, y'all. Every time I talk about this, I'm like, babe, you need to be on
it. I know, you check it out.
I love it. So check it out. Let me know what you think. If any of you have already taken advantage of this and you've been using it, let me know how it's been going for you. Absolutely. In the comments below.
Absolutely.
So our topic for today, which kind of feels like we're at the end of the episode, but we are not. I think we've just been... We haven't really had like a set topic in a long time. Yeah. So like this is typically where we would end. But we actually have a topic today. And it is on none other than gentle parenting.
And tune in next time for the actual topic. No, I'm joking.
You guys. So I have been kind of just examining my parenting style. And it kind of started with doing the things that were done to me in the beginning, Chad Jr., and it just didn't feel good. Yeah. Like, some of the things just didn't feel good. So I was kind of left with this, well, what do I do in place of...
I don't like that. So
what do I do? And, you know, it took me a while to get to that. So I wouldn't say this was at the beginning. It took me a while to get to that, and then it was just kind of this period of, well, I don't really know what to do.
And thankfully, Chad Jr. is...
thankfully, really, we didn't really need a whole
lot of him. He's a really good kid. Like, mm-hmm. So we had it easy.
We did.
Right off the bat.
Pretty much for the majority of... It was really when Reagan came along.
Yeah. She started challenging a bit more. But Chad was... So we got off with not having a true strategy with Chad Jr. because he... Was this? He's still very cool and easy. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's where we were.
This is where I really understood that I didn't like these methods because I knew with Reagan's personality, I would have to be doing this all the time. I'd have to be yelling. I'd have to be fussing. I'd have to be timing out. I'd have to be just all of the things. And I was like, this is just, I'm not about this life.
Yeah, she's a mini Gabrielle, so it's like
whatever.
And I try to put Gabrielle in timeout. She don't listen.
So I, you know, I'm a big fan of Malik. And when she became a mother, she was very open about challenging what we've always been taught. And how we were parented. And she started sharing resources that I started to kind of get into, Dr. Becky being one of them. And it was really eye-opening. Like the whole other option. Because I feel like when you come from being parented a certain way, you don't really see the other way. Or if you do see the other way, I've always, it's always been like, no, that's some white people stuff. I honestly, like, you white people don't be disciplining their kids. Like, that was what was ingrained in my head. So it has been a shift in just exploring what this even looks like. And I use the term gentle parenting because that's what's the most in, like, popular term. I think people get caught up with the word gentle because they think it means that there are no boundaries or you can't be firm or you can't have, you know, rules. And that's not the thing. It's more of like being intentional with your parenting. So I wanted to kind of read what it means just in case you've never heard the term gentle parenting before and you don't really know what it means. So this is a parents.com article and it says gentle parenting is a means of parenting without shame, blame, or punishment. It is a partnership between parties and both parents and children have a say in this collaborative style. Gentle parenting is as it sounds. It's a softer approach to parenting and parents and caregivers that practice gentle parenting do so by guiding their children with consistent, compassionate boundaries, not a firm hand. So, and even in reading that, it's like, you can gentle parent firm. So I think that there is a little misconception about it. And maybe it's not a misconception. I have taken these principles and kind of made them work for us the way they work for us. But it's really about being intentional. Like, gone are the days of do as I say because I said so, or stop crying before I give you something to cry about, or what's wrong with you, or, you know, it's like the shutdown, fear instilling parenting. I'm completely against it. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. We decided that we just were not about that life. Like, how do I constantly shut my child down in the name of respect or talk down to them or shut them up when they're feeling a certain way without showing them how to handle these feelings? Because the overall thought is that the feelings your child, the behaviors that your child displays comes from a feeling within. So if you're upset and I just tell you to shut up because I don't want to hear you crying, then you learn that your feelings aren't valid. You learn that, oh, well, this is not a good emotion.
Mommy, daddy don't care how I feel. Yeah.
Mom and daddy don't care how I feel versus, oh, this is actually what I feel. Because a lot of times children don't even have the words to articulate the feeling. So if I shut you down without even explaining to you what is causing this behavior, which is the feeling behind it, and help you learn how to navigate it, then what am I doing here? I'm just teaching you how to do as I say. And then you grow up to be an adult who is a people pleaser and who does what they think is the good thing because they don't even know how to think for themselves. You know what I'm saying?
And I think a misconception is, too, is just because you don't say, stop talking, you know what, just no, like, just be quiet. Like, that doesn't mean, like, because you're not doing that and you're allowing them to be able to navigate this, that doesn't mean they're going to get their way still.
Right, yeah.
The answer still might be no.
Yeah.
But it's important for them to be able to explain to you why they feel the way they feel and for them to understand how they feel. And it is a collaborative team effort to be like, we want to prepare you to be someone who can handle their emotions and work through their emotions as a kid and as an adult, because they're about to go, a little kid, Reagan at 4, by the time she's 10, 15, those are some of the most stressful years for kids, you know, like dealing with other kids, with like potential bullying, like just the things that can come with childhood. It's like, so working with them early is like, it's really cool for us to be able to say, well, why do you feel this way? Like,
Right. Yeah, you know, or like, what, you know, I can tell you're upset, or I can see that you're, so like, I think there was one way that I explained it to you, or one of the ways that I've seen Dr. Becky, she's the author of this book, Good Inside, is coming out, but she also has a podcast and a community for moms. She's been like one of the like pillars, I guess, or the ones that I kind of, you know, follow the most. Like she shares like scripts on how to handle certain things. Like she's a wealth of information if you are interested in exploring. And then there's also Destiny. I don't remember her last name, but she's a Black woman. So if you like, this is some white people stuff, there's a Black woman that also talks about it that I follow, Destiny. She's great too. I'll put their information in the show notes in the description box. But the way Dr. Becky, I was watching something, and she talked about how obviously the behavior is an issue because it stems from something. So say your child is having a tantrum. They're having a tantrum because there is a feeling inside that they don't actually know how to verbalize. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know what's going on. The tantrum is just the outward expression. It's just like the tip. If you think of an iceberg, it's the tip, which is the part that you see on top of the ocean. That is the tantrum. So what happens if you take off the tip of an iceberg? It's still all there. It's still like iceberg. It's still an iceberg. It's just it's not still seen.
Sink Titanic, okay?
Exactly. It's just not seen. So if I teach you to shut down, be quiet, we never talk about anything, you have all these feelings, like I'm just teaching you how to shut the behavior off, but I'm not teaching you how to deal with the feeling that's causing the behavior. Yeah. It doesn't go away. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, why not take the time to dig in deep and deal with what's causing the behavior versus just shutting down the behavior because it's inconvenient or it's annoying or it's triggering to us adults. This is another thing I had to learn, is that why am I so triggered by my child learning how to express their emotions? Like, why do I expect a 4-year-old to be able to be perfectly calm at any point? She's 4. Like, I got moments where I'm not calm and I'm almost 40. So why should she be punished for a moment when she is just frustrated and doesn't even know how to handle herself? Like, why should I send her away and put her in time out when she really needs connection? How about we time in? How about you come sit and talk to me about how you're feeling? Like, it was just so many eye-opening things once I started kind of like doing research, mm-hmm. and looking at things differently. Like, why do we give our children time out? Why do we send them away when they are at, like, if Chad came to me crying and frustrated or angry, why would I tell him to go sit in a corner by himself instead of offering to talk him through what he's feeling? Exactly. Like, would we really do that with adults? So then it's the thing of, like, should I be treating my child like I would treat other adults? Well, they are humans. Why shouldn't I? Why do I have to be this authoritative, do as I say, don't ask no questions, blah, 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 but then expect for them to grow up and want to talk to me?
And have good mental health. Like,
think right. You know what I'm saying?
If an adult walked into a therapist and said, I need some help, or to their spouse and said, I need some help, I'm not doing good, or they had a bad day, a rough day, and they're being mm-hmm. a little bit short or whatever it might be, and their spouse or the therapist says, well, you know what, suck it up. You know, suck right. it up, drive on.
Let me give you something else to yeah, cry about.
You're an adult. You know what? Grow up and act like an adult. You got responsibilities.
Right.
Nobody want to hear all that crying and whining. Like, just suck it up and drive on. Like, mm-hmm. how would that person's mental health be?
Yeah.
So what do you think happens to a kid
when that's all they grow up with?
Like, they don't understand, other than like, well, mommy and daddy, you know, I can't cry, because mm-hmm. if I do, then they're just going to tell me shut up. So I got to just try to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, that causes anger issues. Like, I mean, there's so many things. Like,
there's so many things.
So,
like,
many things.
And leading up to this podcast, I've been real anxious about it, because we already get judged for our parenting, period. Because people go off of what they see, and what they don't see is not happening. So, and I never want anybody to say, so I will disclaimer that we should have led with, I'm not by any means telling you how to parent your kids. I am not the most experienced parent. I've only had 9 years. You know what I'm saying? I'm only figuring this out on my own. Feel free to do whatever you feel like works for you. But I just thought that as we find different methods, why would I not share them? Because some things you probably never even thought about that way. So it's just, hopefully you're listening to this with an open mind, like, there's a point to that. And then take it and do your own research. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the expert here. I'm listening to the experts. So, take it with a grain of salt. Like, nobody is judging how you parent. If you feel like you need to slap and hit and, which, nope, let's talk about that. Because this is also what we don't believe in, is putting our hands on our children. Mm-hmm. Because what does that teach?
Fear.
Fear. At the end of the day,
if an adult is hitting you, how do you feel?
Right. Like, why do we feel like that's the course of action? Because it's just shutting down the behavior. But what am I learning from getting a spanking? What am I learning from getting slapped or popped in the mouth or beaten with a belt? That is abuse. Like, it's abuse.
That happened to me a lot as a kid. Guess what? I didn't learn anything from it. Mm-mm. And I didn't get any closer to my dad because of it.
No, and people are like, well, we'll talk about it later. I'm going to whip you so you know not to do it again, and then we can talk about it later. But I don't even want to talk to you after that.
I'm mad
because
at you.
I'm hurt. And it's like an anger, but it's also a hurt. Like, you're the person that's supposed to love me and care for me and be this safe space for me. Now I don't really have a safe space because my fear is, if I come and tell you how I really feel, if it doesn't line up with how you think I should feel, I'm going to be punished for
exactly.
it. So then I'll just keep it to myself.
So I'm not going
to
tell you how I feel. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear.
Exactly. I'm going to learn how to look like I'm obeying, but then I may be doing all other just yeah.
I'm gonna learn
to
be
keep
a good liar
my butt from
when
being
it comes
hurt.
To you.
I'm gonna learn how to be a good liar.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So it's just so many things.
Yeah.
Like, and we used to pop chat. I have used the ruler. I have
neither
pinched
one of us
him.
Liked it.
I have, you know what I'm saying? And I have even grabbed up Reagan. Like, I've had my moments, like, listen, and then it's like that whole part is just unnecessary.
Yeah, we don't like it.
It just didn't feel good to me.
It feels icky.
it felt icky.
Oh God.
Yeah,
I don't ever,
it felt really
because
bad.
Because I like when my kids come to me, and she likes when her kids come to her, and they come to us for safety.
Yes.
They come to us for comfort.
Yes.
And, like, I'll give you an example. The other night, Reagan is only 4, Chad's 9, so Chad got to go to the pool with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan couldn't because it was like, well, one, it was like 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
It was time for her to get ready for bed. Chad can stay up a little longer because he is, you know, summer, like
yeah.
summertime,
yeah.
right?
And the other parent was going. So.
And the other parent was going, so we're like, well, you sure, buddy? Well, she was upset because, and also it was kind of chilly out. It was getting a little bit chilly out. We was like, Chad, you ain't going to stay long because it's cold.
Yeah.
And he didn't stay long. But we were like, well, not tonight, but maybe tomorrow when it's warmer. And she had a full out meltdown, like, mm-hmm. you know, like just very upset. Why does brother get to go and I can't, you know, just very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we took her up, got her in the bath and, you know, and she still was very, very, you know, upset. But then she, we asked her, you know, was like, well, what, you know, what makes, you know, I was like, you know, I always tell her, I'm like, okay, breathe, Reagan, take deep breaths,
yeah.
right? Take deep breaths. And sometimes she'll do it. And that's worked with her before. Sometimes it won't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, what makes you feel good? What makes you feel less stressed? What makes you feel calm? Because right now you're upset. What makes you feel more calm? And the first answer she said was,
she's like, foods,
because she's a snacker like us. But then we got into, I was like, what about in the tub? What about we get in the warm water?
Mm-hmm.
And she laid back in the tub and just floated, closed
yeah.
her eyes, was as quiet.
Mm-hmm.
The famous line of quiet as a mouse. I mean, she just, and she, I was like, does this make you feel relaxed and calm? And she's like,
mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if that was what I was supposed to do, but
imagine if you didn't even go through that with her. You was just like, stop crying. Be
exactly.
quiet.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's not going to work. First of all,
you're in trouble. Like, first of all, it only heightens the situation. Trying to shut down a meltdown is pointless because then y'all both just
and let me give you another example. So in SEER training, which is survival evasion and rescue, I think,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. But SEER training, what like SEALs go through, special forces and other people in the military go through. One of the torture techniques they use is crying babies. Mm. They play a track of crying babies after they've captured them. It's because crying is stressful. It induces stress.
It's a trigger, yeah.
It's a trigger. So you're already getting triggered by this crying. Mm-hmm. But you have to realize that you don't have control over that person's crying.
Exactly.
You just have to support. You can't be like, stop crying, like, and think that that person just gonna just all of a sudden magically be fine. Even if they stop crying, it's probably because of fear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is because of fear.
So it's not because all of a sudden they feel better. Well, thank you so much for telling me to stop crying, Mom and Dad. You are a magical.
That's magical.
That's not what it is.
It's not how it works.
They stop because they're fearful at that point. Yeah. Well, if I don't stop crying, I'm gonna get, you know, I'm gonna get beat or whatever it is. So yeah, but that I thought that was a, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a good and I think it also speaks to the fact that gentle parenting, first of all, is not for the faint. Do you know how much self-control it takes to not yell at a screaming toddler at any moment? Because that's the easy thing to do, because it's our first response to shut it down.
Especially if it happened to you.
I'm in the grocery store. Shut it down. You're embarrassing me. I feel some kind of way because you can't keep it together. That's the thought that comes when our children act out.
We're worried about what other people
think
of you.
We're worried about what are other people thinking about us. Oh, they think that I'm not disciplinarian, or I'm not teaching these
kids.
You
made it about you.
You better get that in check, because they're going to grow up and give tantrums. No, we're going to grow up and process our emotions the way we process our emotions. Like, you know what I'm saying? We all have moments where we are just not there, frustrated. Like, it's not a means of coddling them or spoiling them.
Or giving them what they want every time.
Giving them what they want. Like, there are still firm boundaries. This is what we do. This is what we do not do. This is why we do not do it. My number one job as your parent is to keep you safe. So if you are doing something that is not safe, I have to be firm in saying no, because this is going to end up in this. 100%. But I don't have to do that with a yell, with a scream, with a cuss you out, with a belt, with a, like, there are just other ways to address it. So I think for us, that those were like the bigger points of why we felt this might be a better option for us, just to not feel so icky. And honestly, to not have our kids, you know,
fear us,
grow up scared of us, and have years of therapy to undo what they've learned at home. And I'm not saying everybody goes through therapy because of the way they were, but it is research that a lot of the reasons that we act the way we act start from childhood. Our beliefs, our thoughts, our actions, all starts in the home. So if you grow up with a certain type of thing, it's gonna show up in other areas.
Like, I mean, think about how many men and women blame, especially men, blame their father for the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've talked about this in previous podcasts. I think that's a cop out, because you have a chance to be a different person.
Yeah,
no one can make you be anyway. You've made a choice to continue to be that way. But why are they saying that?
Yeah,
because that's what they experienced, and they don't know any different, right? It's well, that was the way it was, and so that's the way I'm gonna be, you know. And that can be a good thing and a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably stems from not being able to process your own emotions and feelings and develop who you want to be as a person.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I think, yeah, for me, it's just like, you know, I think that, yeah, I think our number one, I think, yeah, like Gabriel said, everybody has to make a choice of how they want to raise their children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your choice. It's your decision. And we assume that every single person that's raising a child is doing what they think is best for their child.
Absolutely.
And that's awesome.
Absolutely.
And that's all you can ask of any parent. So, you know, and that's why, again, for us, this is telling you about how we want to parent and how we came about wanting to parent mm-hmm. this way. Not saying that our way is better or your way is better. It's just saying this is our way.
Yeah.
And if you get something from it, amazing. If you don't, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and feel free to like comment and let's, you know, keep the conversation going. I told y'all last week I was supposed to be researching and getting all this stuff together. I did not do that, okay? But I do remember talking about this on my Instagram, and a lot of people just had so much, like, I think the common rebuttal that I got was, well, they're going to be spoiled, or they're not going to know how to handle discipline, or they're going to walk all over you, or stuff like that. And it goes back to like having boundaries and being firm in those boundaries. Being gentle or being intentional in your parenting doesn't mean you just let them do whatever the hell they want to do.
Our kids are not
the same thing. So it's like, if that's the rebuttal, I don't agree with that.
We don't agree.
And then there were the people that were like, well, I raised my kids hitting them and doing this, and they turned out just fine. And I want to challenge that thought, because what is just fine? They have learned how to mask their feelings and still succeed in a stressful world. Like, you know
maybe
what I'm saying?
Maybe
like,
ask your kids how it felt. Mm-hmm. Now that they're grown, maybe say, what? You know what? I want to ask you, when I raised you and I hit you because of this or that, you know, how did that make you feel? And how do you feel about that now? Maybe ask them. You assume you know how someone's doing.
Yeah.
We always assume we know how someone's doing.
Because we look at the outside. Like, well, they went to college. They graduated. Like, somebody rattled off their kids' accomplishments to me. And I'm like, but that doesn't tell me what their mental health is.
That doesn't tell what
like.
Their mental health is or their emotional state.
At all.
Everybody can put a mask on and be great. But there's people that...
It's a lot of depressed, highly functional people.
There's a lot of depressed people that eventually meet the end of where they can't handle it no more. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's sad.
Yeah.
So again... It's just, we assume we know how someone's doing.
Yeah.
But maybe just ask.
Maybe just ask. It all stemmed from this like, I was trying to find it, but this reel that I saw, and it was just talking about how we all say, well, my parents did it, and I turned out fine. Did we really turn out fine?
Are you going to therapy?
Like,
are you feeling?
Are you working through those triggers? Are those anxious thoughts, are those moments, like your feelings, are you talking it out? Are you doing the work? Are you really fine?
But can I challenge
or
that?
Does it just sound good to say, well, you know, I turned out great. I used to say that. I didn't turn out great. It took me years of therapy to uncover the deep-seated issues that I'm not blaming my parenting or blaming my childhood from, but a lot of it did stem from how I was raised.
What and that whole saying of, well, my parents did it and I turned out fine, is fine really what you wanted to turn out?
Yeah, let's start there.
Is fine good enough?
It should
be. Do you
be.
Want to get to the end of your life and say, you know what, I'm fine, I did fine, I turned out fine? I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, man,
I turned out
amazing. Yes. I thrived.
Yes.
Like my mental, my physical, my spiritual, my emotional, my connections, through the roof.
Yeah.
That's what I want to turn out. So my parents, my father was abusive and used all the hitting and cussing and everything. I didn't turn out fine, and I'm not turning out fine because of his actions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn out great because of my actions moving forward.
Yeah.
Like in my growth and my work and my prayer, and so, you know, my amazing wife supporting, has nothing to do with the crap that I went through. That did nothing good for me.
Yeah. It's true. I had another thought and I can't. Dang, what was I getting ready to say? I can't remember. It was going to be good, too. Oh, I was saying that another thing that I had to just ask myself, like, does this even make sense? Like, we give kids a lot of credit. Oh, she's doing it because she knows she's going to get over you, or she's going to manipulate you or whatever. And it's like, why is that always our first thought versus...
Do we think kids are that horrible?
Right. As opposed to, oh, man, she must really be hurt. Or something is really happening inside that she would lash out and act like that. Like, instead of it always being the negative, we always jump to the negative. Don't do that because she's going to be spoiled. Don't do that because she's going to run all over you. Oh, she crying because she knows she's going to get away with it. It's like, where's the concern we for don't how see that they our
kids
feel?
We don't see our kids as being horrible human beings.
Yeah, so like, you know what I'm saying?
The camera died. Yeah, camera died. I don't remember what I was saying, but it was funny. Chad was saying something while we were off camera, but also, like, our body remembers trauma. And any way you spin it, hitting a child is traumatic. Yeah. And our bodies remember that. And even if it seems okay or they seem fine, or it's going to come up again. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to have a hand in how they develop.
Will Smith talks about that in his book. Back to that.
Absolutely.
And he loves his dad, but...
Definitely.
Yeah, he talks about it a lot.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where we found something that worked for us, and we've been researching it. Like, I have bought courses. I joined a community with other mothers who are interested in exploring the same things, because it is difficult, specifically when you are surrounded by people who didn't do it this way. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to have to justify, like, well, why I'm doing it this way. It's almost like I feel like I have to justify it. I have to explain it. But at the end of the day, I'm doing this for the betterment of my children. You don't have to understand it.
But the biggest word is my.
They're my children. So you have to respect it.
You don't have to agree.
Because I'm
going to
send them to you, and you're doing something completely different than what I'm doing. Like, nope, we don't do that. So you're going to have to be on board with how we want to raise our children. And you're going to have to respect it. You may not understand it. And that's okay. Like, that's so right. I had to be okay with that. Because it's, you know, my mom don't get it. Nana don't get it. Like, they old school. Like, no. You shouldn't be talking back. Or you shouldn't be, you know. And it's just like, why can't they have an opinion?
Yeah.
That don't mean you're going to get your way. But sure, you can tell me how you feel about it.
Doesn't mean, like, doesn't mean we're going to allow them to be disrespectful.
Right.
But they're okay to be able to say why they feel something.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with that?
So, it's interesting. So if anything we said piques any type of interest, like, I will put resources in the description box. Dr. Becky has a mom's group. My Leak has a mom's group. Mm-hmm. There's so many resources of just any little thing, like anything that you feel like you're doing, maybe just because it was done to you, maybe just dig deeper and ask yourself, do you really feel like this is the best course of action? Am I being a reactive parent, or am I being proactive? Yeah. Like, certain situations we get upset about, but we put ourselves in these situations.
Yeah.
You take a 40-year-old sleepy child to the grocery store and then get mad when they're acting out. You did that. Like, you should have proactively known this is probably not the best time to take them to the store, or I should be prepared for them not, you know, being in the best space because they're exhausted, or because, you know, like, they're having a bad day. Like, and I'm not saying everything has to be around the child, but certain things, we know our children, and sometimes some stuff just don't even make sense. And then we get mad because they're in this situation that's uncomfortable for them, doesn't feel good for them, and they're acting out. And we're mad because it's embarrassing us. What? Parenting isn't convenient. It's not always going to be what works for you at all times.
You're raising tiny human beings.
Exactly.
Like, they have their own mind, their own emotions, their own hearts, their own abilities.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to, like... You were made to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They were made to express themselves too.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just...
They shouldn't be punished for
it. They shouldn't be punished for it. I think they should be supported and but with those boundaries.
Yeah, and taught how to regulate, how to regulate these feelings. So maybe the next time there's a strategy in place, if they feel this, like, what is this feeling? Okay, how do I deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't come out of the womb knowing how to deal with our emotions. Some of us still don't know how to deal with our emotions. So it's like, why are we so mad? They doing what we do. We just, how many times have you got cut off and start cussing? Because you was frustrated. So you had your own tantrum because somebody cut you off. But we expect our children not to do the same thing. Like, it just looks different as adults.
As adults, I think as adults, we just think that we can do it because we're adults.
Yeah.
And that's And that's a load of like crap. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, because we adults, we can do it.
Yeah.
But you a kid, it's always the one that I, you know, well, I'm an adult, so I can do it. Mm-hmm. Or I can, like.
Yeah. Or how many times have you been in line at Walmart and the cashier is going so slow and you are so impatient and so mad, like you just. Some people be verbal about they upset, and they be upset, and they be
and these
verbal.
Are grown adults.
Grown adults, but you mad because the child is sick of being in the grocery store for an hour. They can't be impatient. Like they can't be frustrated too.
So I think I think parents expect their kids to be perfect.
Yeah, but we're because, not even perfect.
Because but we're adults, so we can have flaws. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the you know the most immature of the two should be the kid, but a lot of times it's the adult. Mm-hmm. And because we should know better, right? Technically, right? We should know better.
We should know better.
But sometimes we don't because we're dealing with the same crap.
Yeah.
So it's just, I love this way. And I'm glad that, I'm very happy that Gabriel found it because I was a huge softie mm-hmm. on Chad Jr. Mm-hmm. and even Reagan because of how tough my dad was on me.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm never going to do that to him.
Yeah.
So, but, again, thankfully, Chad Jr., he was such a good kid, right? So it was
not
very
easy. Not
that
Reagan is not a good kid.
No.
They just have, their personalities are completely different.
Well, I'm speaking back into, you know, that, like,
yeah.
So, but then, you know, Gabriel with discovering this way, it's like, it allowed me to be a firm, you know, rules, you know, we have rules and there mm-hmm. are boundaries. Father, but I don't have to yell at you. I don't have to
yeah.
I definitely don't have to hit you. I don't have to make you fear me. Like you're gonna know like when it's time to just say okay, daddy. Okay,
yeah.
You know, and
they get it.
They get it. Like they get it.
There's a look. There's a, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they know.
They know. Whether they want to admit it or not, they yeah. know. But they're not walking away from it, like, scared to death of mommy mm-hmm. or daddy.
Yeah.
So I'm so thankful for her yeah. finding it. Because it's been great.
Yeah, you know? It's been good. It's been a learning curve. It's been challenging at times. It's frustrating
yeah.
sometimes to be calm. Like, I never forget when we were at, were we not Phil?
And the car might fall.
Oh my gosh.
That's fine. We got sound on here.
Okay. Yeah, I never forget when we were in the house at Florida and Reagan had this huge meltdown. And I felt so embarrassed because I felt like I wasn't handling it the way everybody else in the house would have expected me to. Yeah, I was very calm with her. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? And it felt a way because I felt like I was being judged. And I think that's the hardest part to accept is that you will be judged. It's okay.
Like, because adults, we want people to know that we got our stuff together.
Right. I want to handle our business. Oh, I got this kid taken care of. She ain't finna do me. But it's like, at the end of the day, I'm trying to do this to save face for you, but what about the child?
Your child is more
beneficial for her
than someone else's feelings
yes.
about you.
Yeah,
like,
so I think if you do decide to go down this path, you probably won't be met with everybody who understands it. You could be challenged. You could be looked at as you are softy or you're not teaching kids anything or doing anything. But if you feel good about it and you know what you're trying to do, like there is a point behind mm-hmm. it, you know, then you just have to stick with that and just pray that it works out in the end. Like my goal is just to prepare them to be the best adults that I can.
I want them to be better than we were.
I want them
going off into adulthood,
to speak their mind, to know how to not look for the opinion of others and rely on that external validation,
yeah.
how to process their emotions, how to talk about how they feel. Like these are things I want them to grow up and know how to do.
100%.
And it starts at home.
100%.
So yeah. Hopefully,
yeah,
it gives you something to think about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, by all means, share your thoughts in the comments. Keep the conversation going. Have you tried it? Has it not working? Has it worked? Has it not worked? What are things that you still find difficult? Like,
and
yeah.
As you're doing it, like, let's all be adults. and yeah. be respectful towards each other. We can all have differences of opinions yeah. and do things differently. That doesn't make someone better or less than because of
Absolutely.
That. So
yeah.
we want our kids to be respectful. So let's do that in the comments as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, you know, this was just, you know, good information, you know, or maybe it was just, you know, a good listen.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you have any questions, feel free to leave those.
Absolutely.
We can, you know, talk about them in the comments or we can talk about them on the next episode. But, yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all we got.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Rap City. What was the little thing you had pulled up on your iPad? I asked Babe if he had done some research and he pulled up some article. What was it? You didn't even talk about it.
Well, yeah, because it just compares. I can read a couple.
Like different scenarios?
It's like basically mainstream parenting versus gentle parenting. Okay, bad behavior is mainstream parenting. Bad behavior always unacceptable and punished or ignored. Mm-hmm. The gentle parenting says no behavior is seen as bad, but rather as an unmet need and a way to learn.
Oh, okay. It's a lot of stuff we
kind
of talked about.
I mean, yeah, it's really all we kind of talked about. It's just kind of just comparing the two. But, you know, and again, gentle parenting can look different for every single person, right? Because every child is different. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to do things that works for you and your child, right?
Yeah.
So
you got to figure that out. You got to do the work to figure that out.
And even these child experts or these parenting experts, I've heard some say, I don't listen to Dr. Becker or anything, but that, you know, there is no, you know, it's true. There is no perfect parenting technique.
Mm-mm.
Because you're raising a human being. Like, you have to find what really works for you when it comes, especially when it comes to gentle parenting.
Right.
So, So I think that it's just growth. You know, every day you grow and try to be better and then hopefully you've set them out on this amazing path as adults, and they're better for it. You know,
only hope and pray that we do the best we can. Like, that's all we can do.
Absolutely.
You know?
And we believe that we're doing that. So we're excited mm-hmm. about, you know, continuing to learn about it.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, guys. Yeah. We'll be back in a couple weeks. We'll try to get some Ask Gavin Babes. Feel free to keep those coming. You can email us at letsmakeoutpodcast@gmail.com.
You keep up with us on social. Let's Make Out Pod on Twitter. Oh, sorry.
Put the hashtag Ask Gavin Babe as a subject.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we know you want us to talk about
that. That's right. Yeah.
And I'm still waiting on them voice record emails, too. Anybody sent no voice recording yet.
So apparently,
if you want to talk to us, go ahead and send it in.
Yeah. If you want to have yours played on the podcast, send a voice memo in the email. So Let's Make Out Pod on Twitter. Let's Make Out Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And thanks so much for listening or watching or both.